bringing the meeting to order at 7:10. The invocation will be done by Mr. Flowers and the salute by Ms. Shoemaker.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come together on this evening, Lord God. Lord God, we praise and thank you, Lord God, for this beginning of a new year, Lord God, now. Students and teachers are coming back, Lord, that we thank you for the grace and mercy, Lord God, that you've given them on the return on this coming week. Lord God, we continue to pray for this board, Lord God. Father God, just use us for your glory, Lord God. Lead us and guide and direct us, Lord God, again, in the way in which you want us to go, Lord God. Lord God, whatever said, whatever's done, Lord God, we just pray that you be glorified. Lord God, we pray for the superintendent and the staff and the teachers as a whole. And above all, not least, Lord God, our students, Lord God. Keep your heads around about them, Lord God. Guide and direct their paths. Lord God, use us all for your glory. Let your will be done in our lives. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Mrs. Phillips? Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Mr. Monade?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Dr. Henry?
Here.
We have nothing to report out from closed session. Is there anything a board member would like to report out during this time? Nobody. That brings us to items from the floor. There are no blue cards. Is there anybody who would wish to address the board at this time? State your name, and since we don't have the blue card in here.
Thank you. Karen Mendoza. I'm the secretary at Coronado High School, also the secretary for CSEA Chapter 91. Our labor rep, Andy, was going to be here tonight, and I apologize he hasn't made it, so I'm going to be sharing some words that he wanted to express this evening. Trustees of the board, I would like to address any misconception of our negotiations. The impression that may have been shared is that we, CSEA, have received more than we have given. Let me advise you of the facts. The district opened with 14 articles, of which 2 were withdrawn. 7 were modified during negotiations, and a grand total of 12 were accepted. There is currently no district article left open. CSEA opened with 13 articles, of which 1 was withdrawn. 8 were modified during negotiations, for a grand total of 8 accepted. There are still 4 of our proposals on the table. Of those 4, 3 we have modified are counters from the initial proposals. We understand that a tit-for-tat cannot be expected in negotiations, such as we agreed to 12 district proposals, so they must agree to 12 of ours. However, the issue is that these last 4 proposals are part of our vital and primary interest topics, and our members want us to hold steadfast. We are hopeful that an agreement can be reached. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we will move on to the business section, the organizational. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent?
I would like to pull from the agenda item E3 so it can be resubmitted at the next meeting, the contract with Mr. Blattner.
Or you could adjust it at this meeting and put it back on. That's up to you.
We could just table it. We know what the issue is. Okay. Let's table it.
So we are tabling A3 to our next meeting. Is there anything else anyone would like to take off of consent? anything anyone would like to add to consent.
Can we have E3 and E5? E3 is the court out 9, and E5 is the notice of conclusion.
Is there any reason that they can't be added?
President Polis, not a reason, and it's entirely up to the board, but we do have a presentation ready for you of summer projects that we've tied to this that we're prepared to show you, but by all means, it's entirely up to the board.
Yes, and I think that since we have a bond issue coming up, it's nice for the public to hear what we're currently doing with the money that we have. So they can see we're using that prudently.
So there are no objections to adding B3?
No objections.
So then I will move as amended, tabling A3 and adding B3 to consent.
I will second.
It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Mike Flowers to approve the agenda and consent items as amended for the regular meeting of August 9th, 2016. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. So that brings us to D5.
Thank you, President Polis. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Coghlan, who will speak on this item.
Board President, Board, Superintendent, as you know, summertime is a busy time for the Facilities and Maintenance Department. We do a lot of projects. We set out at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the summer, and Mr. Larkin is here tonight to share a brief.
Very brief.
Very brief. With some pictures, a lot of pictures of some of the projects that were completed. Again, hats off to Mr. Larkin and his staff for the hard work that they're doing and continuing to do even up until the start of school. So, Mr. Larkin.
Good evening, President Polos, board members, Dr. Hinman, and cabinet. As Dr. Coghlan stated, I'm going to make this very, very brief. So I'm going to skim through this quite quickly. Basically, what their summer projects consisted of was some various maintenance items and a few special programs. So, no further delays. We'll get right into the first one, which is not showing up on the board there. What's going on? We're almost complete now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to do a reboot.
You can't. You have to use the mouse.
So what you're going to do is you're going to do that.
And that concludes everything.
That's it.
You're going to click on that.
That was a great presentation.
Such a
shirt.
Still on the first one.
That's okay, but when it clicks this, it'll go.
There you go.
Now we've got that figured out here. I'll bend over here and move on to the first picture here. We've got some, doesn't really show up very good there, but we did some painting at Cameron Elementary School, completely repainted the exterior of that campus. Another one of the projects that we did was Holland Crest. As you can see, it came out really, really nice. Another painting project was the exterior of Monta Vista. Slowing down just a little bit. Okay. Moving on from the painting projects, we did a few substantial asphalt projects, a couple of them in play areas. As you can see, this one here is a couple of examples, a couple of areas at Orangewood Elementary School. We also had some significant asphalt repairs in the play areas of at Cameron Elementary School as well. And I think everybody knows about the treacherous West Covina High School North staff parking lot area, so that's been taken care of this summer as well. Some of the other things we did this summer was some fencing repairs, basically just cleaning up the poles and the infrastructure that we had, removing the old rusted fence fabric and then installing new fabric on a number of different locations. And those locations consisted of Orangewood, California, and West Cove, primarily the perimeter fencing. Something else that we've done this summer was upgrade all of the backstops at West Covina High School, varsity and JV baseball fields, dugouts, backstops, chain link fencing around the baseball fields. We didn't do the outfields, we just did the bat areas around the dugouts and the backstops. As you know, we typically try to do a few roofs every summer. In the summer, we took care of a couple of large roofs at Edgewood as well as Monta Vista Elementary School. I'll give you a quick summary of maintenance projects. The total we spent this summer on maintenance projects was $908,000. All projects were completed on time, under budget, and with zero change orders.
Wow.
Now we'll move on to some specialty projects. And as you can see here, this came out pretty nice. This is West Covina High School's Career Pathways Robotics Room. This used to be an old wood shop, so we got rid of the wood floors, put a new floor system down, gave it some accent colors, a lot of downlighting to kind of get a little bit of mood and atmosphere inside there. IT department put some really nice computers inside the classroom, and then we've got the mobile work carts there, which are, I guess, to be moved around the classroom for the robotics, for their assembly and demonstration of robotics. Something else at West Covina High School was also the remodel of their career pathways for construction technology. That didn't consist of as much work. However, we did change some lighting in there, accent some walls, upgraded the computers and the furniture as well. Moving on, we go to Edgewood's Career Pathways Gaming. This is a room addition that we built inside of the Library Media Center over there. As you can see, we added a bunch of custom high-tech computers along the walls there, as well as the 12-foot automated screen at the end down there for teaching purposes, and high-definition video production. Another room, what we did at Edgewood, was the Career Pathways Video Production Room. Basically, we enhanced, took a lot of bookcases out, constructed some walls to match the rest of the walls inside the interior, added some freestanding computer tables, as well as built-in computer tables along the perimeters of the walls. Again, you see the large 12-foot projector screen there. We did that in all of the Career Pathways program areas. Moving on from there, we've got the Willowwood Foster Care After School Tutoring Program. As you can see right now, they're still in the process of setting up the computers and stuff that they need for that. A lot of stuff that you see there was a lot of the items that were donated, I believe. Is that correct? They were donated from the Kiwanis. Yeah, so that's all the stuff from the Kiwanis that they're opening up and putting in place over there at Willowwood. Also at Edgewood High School, we've working on some additional eating areas for the students. As you know, it's going to be one lunch service over there this year, so it's going to be quite a bit of students out there at lunchtime. So over the summer, we ordered about 80 lunch tables, poured some concrete, provided some new areas for the students to hang out, eat on their stand-up tables, as well as a bunch of new tables throughout the quad and placement throughout the campus. That's it. Any questions?
Remind me, Mr. Larson, over at Edgewood, we used what was the old Library Media Center, right? That's where you did all the changes and have the gaming.
Yeah,
right?
one of the classrooms was inside that building,
okay.
Correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was, I'm sorry.
The robotics room is impressive. When I went over to Monrovia to validate them for the Golden Bell Award, they were so proud of their classroom. It was a regular sized classroom, and they had a lot of equipment, but it did not look like that.
Oh yeah.
So we're going to see some very impressive. Continue to see some very impressive robotics come out of that classroom. That's a lot of space, and I thought their room looked amazing. So that. Hats off, that's very impressive. Do you have any photos? Are we done with the ERC? I thought that maybe that would be a special emergency project.
You know, I've got some photos, but I don't have them on this presentation. Yeah, the ERC is complete. I don't have a tabulation on the total cost of that yet. I'm sure the insurance, Dr. Coglin might have a little insight into the running tab on that one, but it is 100%. They redid the carpeting, they redid the walls, painting of all the areas, new baseboard. There's a couple items that we still have to discuss with the insurance company, with miscellaneous items that were damaged, but not much.
So, Mr. Larkin, just to ensure that the public doesn't think we remodeled our ERC with our budget, could you just quickly go over what happened again?
It was a significant flood. We had a drinking fountain that had a filter canister that sprung a leak and flooded the building over the course of probably 2 days based on the amount of water that was inside of the building. During the course of the mitigation, we had to remove all the water, pull up the carpeting. Once we pulled up the carpeting, we found some areas that were never abated, which turned into another problem. So we had to base some additional flooring. Then we had to open up the walls. And in that course of opening up the walls, we had them tested. A couple other areas in the walls had to be tested for asbestos material, so we had to abate some wall areas and then reconstruct everything, put it all back together, move everything out, and then move everything back in again.
Oh, yeah. As far as Edgewood, like the tables that you put on the outside, have you guys ever thought about putting shade trees around so the kids can sit like they're doing at West Covenance on the outside?
A lot of the tables.
Make beautifying it even a little bit.
That's nice. And we've got some that are spread around at Edgewood as well in some of the grassy areas that we're probably going to put some concrete placement underneath the tables so that the grounds department can maintain it a little bit better. A lot of the stuff that you saw at Edgewood now that we just purchased all have individual umbrellas for those tables as a whole. Provide a little bit more shade.
Buena Vista, you redid the roof. I know that we had
canopies and the multipurpose room roofs.
They were talking about leakage there. When you redid the roofs, is it no longer going, when it rains, pour down on the children when they walk? Or is that not? Because I think that was more the eaves, or, you know, the walkway. Were you able to fix those? Or
what we'd fixed last summer over there at Monta Vista was drainage issues with the asphalt around the portable buildings. We completely changed the drainage configuration over there and added some drains in the asphalt areas, which significantly improved the drainage of the asphalt when you get rains. As you know, torrential downpour is just going to puddle until it starts to dissipate and run to wherever it's supposed to go.
But it was also coming through on the walkways, the awnings over the walkway.
Uh-huh.
It was coming through there, and I believe you showed us pictures of it.
All of the walkways were redone this summer, so they were completely redone as well as wood infrastructure that was deteriorated. So the walkways were completely redone at Monta Vista, as well as the multipurpose room, kitchen, and one other building over there as well.
And then we had grandparent come and talk about the asphalt at Orangewood. And it looked like you had done the play yard. Is that the area that they were at? You know, it's hard to tell exactly where it was.
Yeah.
That's all taken care of now.
The main play court area at Orangewood was what I showed you there on those pictures. That was the primary play court area. The other areas on the campus that are asphalted are in really good shape.
Okay. And he specifically talked about
Mr. Delahousse.
Yes, right. Those issues. And then in Edgewood, in what used to be their media center,
mm-hmm.
is that whole classroom just, was it divided in two for both of those
One classroom was constructed inside of the media center, inside the library. That one classroom.
So where's the other classroom?
The other classroom is in the E building. It was their old, drawing a blank here, it was their, I'm sorry?
Shop.
No, at one time it was a wood shop as well, but career media. I'm sorry. It's like a media center, but for the high school side versus the elementary school side. I think you use them for both.
It was next to the computer room.
Correct. It was next to the computer room.
I was trying to figure out if it was cut in half. Well, they used.
It's full.
They used the whole media center, at one time, two classrooms. Now it's just for that new career pathways, just one classroom. Then the long, narrow one is in.
It's in the middle school media center.
In the
library.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, new construction inside the library.
And I got
Yeah, we relocated some bookshelves and some books into the other side of the classroom or the library area and had to construct that based on the size and their needs for the campus.
Because the middle school media center is going to stay, right?
It's going to be the media center for everyone.
For everyone,
know
right?
That
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, I remember that.
I didn't know that we were. And then my other question is the 85 tables. Now, I understand we're having one lunch, that means 6 through 12. And it looked like those tables were lined up along a walkway. It might have been Mr. Hinman when I was asking about how are you going to work out one lunch with 6th graders through 12th graders. And I believe it was Dr. Hinman was mm-hmm. telling me the 6th graders were going to have their own place to eat.
They do. As a matter of fact, I had a tour today. And you actually saw a picture of it. There's a new concreted area that's just outside the 6th grade classrooms in a natural wing, piece of the pie, if you will. So that will be the 6th grade area. There's a 7th, 8th grade area, and there's a 9th grade area, and then there's an area for the older kids. So they won't self-select because they'll be guided there initially, but experience says that, you know, classes like to hang amongst themselves. So outside of getting their food will be the only vicinity time together, and then there'll be rolling food carts as well in the senior junior area. Who they won't even have to necessarily go to the food lines, and it's a great tour. I heard Trustee Miranda Jimenez talk about a tour. We'd be happy to do that because there's a lot going on out there. And by the way, I will also tell you just to compliment Mr. Larkin and all the work, but you know, to walk across our campuses right now, it's really what a difference a little TLC will do. Hollencrest, for example, just looks gorgeous right now, and I'm really excited about our families, our kids coming back, seeing the great work you did. So thank you.
Have a good staff.
Driving by, it says just that what's done made a big difference. But going back to the shade.
Yes.
And you're saying that each of the 85 tables have their place for an umbrella, mm-hmm. and there's umbrellas that will be there.
Yeah,
I asked that exact same question today because they're all sitting out in the sun, and Dr. Maddox shared with me, oh, no, we've ordered, I think it's 65 umbrellas because the other tables will have shaded areas, whether through eaves or trees.
So what's going to happen when it rains? I mean, and I, please God, let there be rain. And so when that comes, do we want 6th through 12th graders in a confined area?
I can tell you from experience similar situations that they had at West Covina High School. They have a cafeteria building, and then they utilize the cafeteria building. When they have severe rain, typically they open up their gymnasium, provide staff over there, escort them in, put bleachers out, let the kids hang out inside the gymnasium. I mean, is it ideal? It's probably not ideal, but it serves a purpose.
Well, my concern isn't a traditional high school.
Yeah, to answer your question.
My concern is 6th graders through 12th grade, which is a new configuration for us. And parents have concerns.
Sure.
And you know, it may not, they might be all alleviated that first month.
Right.
But it would be nice to say we have a plan. Because I know they're coming to me with concerns, and I don't know if they're coming to anybody else.
I'm quite confident they'd be able to work out that plan. I mean, simply logistics of placing the older students maybe in the high school gymnasium and the younger ones maybe in the cafeteria with supervision. I'm sure they can probably establish a plan.
President Polis, we will actually get the board that plan. I cannot tell you that exists today. Right now it's can we feed the number of students we have on opening day. We'll show up for the week. And then one of the things we'll ask them to do is come up with the rainy day plan. Between the auditorium and the gyms and the teachers who are willing to donate their lunchtime with kids, it will work itself out. But we want to be able to give you specifics that you can tell your constituents of how we're going to address that.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. And I think that
good question.
Will alleviate a lot of the concerns. And I know even when your child was traditionally just going to a 6 through 8, that was the hardest transition for me as a parent. And I hear that same thing from other parents, is going from an elementary school to a middle school. But now this is a middle high school. So I appreciate that.
Sure.
So I'll be able to pass that on. And the schools are great. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Is there any additional questions?
I just wanted to make a comment that I'm so pleased with the board's directions and the staff that we've been able to do all this work over the last 3 years, and it's taken our surrounding districts bonds in order to the work that we've done, because we've been so fiscally conservative, like painting and curb appeal. It really is very, very good, very good. And hopefully with the upcoming bond, we'll be able to do the bigger projects because we've taken care of these more curb appeal painting and things like that. So my compliments to everyone. Thank you, Mr. Larkin. I don't think you're getting any sleep.
You could sleep after.
After the bond is all done. Look at sleep.
That moves us on. It's a nice segue to D6. The resolution for the...
Oh, we need to...
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Notice of completion was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez. All in favor? Any opposed? 5-0. Now, that's a nice segue to D6. Resolution of the Board of Education regarding the election. Dr. Hillman, would you like to start out?
I would. Thank you, President Polis. You know, we sat down quite a bit this week and tried to design the right presentation for this evening. And after several hours of discussion back and forth with Ann Nock, our PR person, our attorney, our bonds representative, we came to the conclusion that we've already done that. We've really given you pretty much everything we believe the board needs to make this decision. So that being said, I'm really going to have Dr. Coghlan go over just very briefly where we've been, where we were, and where we are. That being said, by all means, if the board does have questions, Tim Carty from Piper Jaffray is here to answer any questions you may have on the financial side. Or Dr. Coghlan, of course, can answer any questions from the House side. So that being said, I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Coghlan.
Thank you, Dr. Hinman. This is on. President Poulos, board members, Dr. Hinman, I'll take you back to, we have been discussing this issue for the last, it seems like, 6-7 months. And at the July 26th Board of Education meeting, there were some discussion items which the board talked about. The first one was whether or not to continue talking about a bond. And so that one, we moved forward with that. The second item was the amount. And based on the needs of the district, based on the fact that what we heard was West Covina doesn't like to go out constantly and ask for money, to use the phrase, it's not a phrase, it was looked at what's the most we could go out for, and that was $143 million. And so as we move forward putting the resolution together, we used $143 million as the bond amount. The third part was the board got to see the actual resolution with a particular focus on the 75-word statement. And what we heard from the board was, is there something we can do with this 75-word statement? Because it's just, for lack of a better word, it's ugly. And the 75-word statement by its nature is not a pretty picture. It is. If you look in most districts, it's going to look the same. There's items in there that have to be there. But that being said, Ann Nock and our attorney went and looked at it, made some changes to make it read a little bit better. Remember, those slash marks count as a word. I just want to update the board on what those changes were. We added a unified district, so now it says West Covina Unified School District. We replaced some slash marks where it says 21st century and student achievement. We put the word and, arts and skill trades, and it used to say campus security systems. We took out the word security and just says campus safety. We replaced systems with safety. And at the very end, the last sentence just didn't, it needed an end there. And so it reads, no money for administrator salaries, comma, and all money staying local. So before, there was not the word "and" in there. This is a 75-word statement. As we've been talking about this resolution, in order to place a bond on the ballot for November, the board must take action by August 12th, and it needs to be turned in down at the county registrar. So before you tonight is that resolution for $143 million to place on the ballot for election in November. With that, we'll answer any questions that you have or turn it back over to President Polis.
Questions? Discussion?
The facility needs assessment that we did, there was quite a bit in there. And that pretty, I'll say it's a liberal estimate. Let's see, if you could do everything, what would you do? We've since then kind of honed down that list. We will be asking the state for some matching funds to see if that's available. Many of the things in that facilities plan, I'm going to answer your question, yes. Everything in that facility's master plan assumes that enrollment's going to stay the same. But based on what we've seen, we do have some declining enrollment. And so a lot of the classrooms that need to be replaced and modernized and portables probably won't happen. So to answer your question, I believe that the list that we've and the projects we've been presenting to the board can be completed for the $143 million.
President Shoemaker, if I can just throw in, I sent the trustee Shoemaker. I shared the letter a few days from Tom Torkelson, who wrote a letter up in the Sacramento Mercury. Prop 51 is the state bond, and it's polling well. I can't predict, obviously, whether it'll pass or not, but that is the state bond, and if, in fact, it were to pass, the person that sent me the forward, his name is Joe Dixon. Joe Dixon was the president of the funding organization CASH, which is
Coalition for Adequate School Housing,
who will be helping us make those connections if that in fact goes forward.
Additional questions?
So there's
two issues. Well, first, is anyone going to move it as written?
Oh, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
So it's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Michael Flowers to adopt the resolution authorizing a bond election for November 8th, 2016. All in favor? Discussion.
Okay. Basically, at this point, I will be voting for it. I can't even say it without. This is very hard because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for our homeowners, but when I ran for the board, I said my first question would always be, is this the best for our kids? And so it took a lot of soul searching to decide that yes, this is. We've been fiscally conservative. We've done all we can. And, you know, I've looked at this every way I can, and I just do not see another option. We are not a community that has corporations or residents that could raise this through a private foundation. There is no other option. And so, ultimately, I had to go back to what my duty is here, and that is to provide the best environment for student learning for our students. And quite frankly, I've been out of high school for almost 20 years. So,
That's a long time.
So it's getting to be a long time, but I can still walk into classrooms at West Covina High that haven't changed. And that's unacceptable, especially on the high school level, if we are going to have students that can compete in the next level. And we owe that to our community to provide that.
I've spoken to a few people about this, and they were against it at first. I talked to one today, he received this mailer, he read it, changed his mind. So also when I hear people say that, the superintendent said, when people come into West Covina to live, first thing they want to know is they look at our schools and see how our schools are doing and see how our school look. And when they see what we are doing now and our future is so bright, I look forward to seeing what this bond is going to do and how fruitful our district is going to become even more. So the sky's the limit for our school and for our district. And thank to my board, and I hope we all can go along and make this it's going to be a great success for us all.
Additional comments?
I'll be voting yes on this. I think you all already know that. There's no surprises. But when we reconstructed Edgewood, and to see just the small things that we did to make the learning environment better for students, and to echo what Ms. Shoemaker said, you go over to West Covina High and it seems so dated and antiquated. And this bond is an opportunity to improve on for students where we're going to go. And we are, let's face it, it's a global, we're competing globally. And so since we're competing globally, then we have to prepare our students better. I'm so proud of this board and our community in that we embrace our schools, we support our schools, and we've been responsible to the public. I think they're going to be very pleased with what we're going to do and how well we're going to spend their money and how we'll make it stretch as best as we can. We already, as I stated in our last presentation, we've done some really amazing things. And we didn't even have bond money. And that's, again, because we really do make students a priority here. So I'm really excited, really, really excited. I feel like it's an opportunity to dream. I've said it before. It gives us that opportunity to dream. And how exciting for students. And I think about, what about our little kindergartners that are in dual immersion right now? And they're going to actually be able to use and grow up with a lot of what we're going to do. And unfortunately, the kids in the high school right now might not get everything that we're going to redo. But I'm really excited for the younger ones. And what pride, too, for alumni to be able to look and say, hey, that's my school. Look at how good it looks. And look at the great things they're accomplishing. And it's always impressed me that West Covina, the city of West Covina, students... Alumni come back and they move into the community, and I think improving our schools continues to create that. That I want to come back. I want to settle my roots back in West Covina, where I grew up, and look at the amazing things our schools are doing. And I love hearing stories from teachers about how they are now teaching the children of students that they had years ago. So I think we're going to do some amazing things with this money. I'm so excited. So I will be voting yes on this.
Okay. Well, I believe we've done our due diligence, and by we, everyone here, in putting forth the resolution that, you know, we can be proud of. I think it is now our responsibility to allow our constituents to make the ultimate decision on whether they believe this is the right thing for this district. It too will get my yes vote, and I hope that the community responds in the affirmative as well.
I still have a problem with the amount we're asking for.
I definitely think we need to go for a bond. I graduated from this district 40 years ago. There are definitely, when you go on to Edgewood, there's more outlets. And some of the classes have really changed, but I would say the majority of them look exactly the way they did 40 years ago. And there's more outlets and some wiring. So yes, we need to move forward. We want our children to have the best education possible that we can give. Some of the bigger ticket items is what I'm concerned about. I really want to vote yes for this, and I understand we're going to have equity committees deciding where the different things go. So I think we're just going to move on to the vote.
Well, I'll say to you, remember that we are a community and a board and a district that does not like to go out for bonds. That by going for the $143 million now, my sincere belief is we will go at least that much longer before we have to go out again. And that if we just focus on our absolute needs, we will not have the money for the wants. And quite frankly, some of those wants we are calling wants, but they are needs. We need performing arts classrooms. I mean, we focused on a performing arts center, but mostly that would be classrooms, facilities that our programs need. The pool. I mentioned at the last board meeting, I had the benefit of using the Olympic training facility at what used to be the Sheraton when I was in high school, on the West Covina High School swimming team. Our students don't even have a regulation pool any longer. I feel we owe it to our students that they at least have what they need and what they need is to be able to compete in athletics with the facilities that are necessary.
Now, the game for if you're saying that they like to move, stay in our district, live in our district,
right.
When they build their homes in our district,
they'll
be paying for it.
We have that. We have teachers that went to school with me. You know, there's one teacher in particular who couldn't afford to live in the area, that lived out in Montana, and is now moving back into the area. But with that, loves the community so much that she's been involved in football and everything else. So after work, she's part of the Bruins and they commutes an hour. And so people do come back to our community and pay attention to our community. And there's other families that come in. And so, you know, as I said, this is certainly not something I want to do in the slightest, least little bit, but it's something we need to do. And I think we have a reputation in the community, and we have the right people in place, that this money will be trusted in our hands and will be handled well. And so, as Mr. Mayor said, ultimately it's going to be our community who decides yes or no on this. And, you know, sometimes we have to buy people in. and remember, it's, you know, for me, as I said, it's not about my personal feelings on bonds, but looking at our financial state and calculating how much money we lost over all of these years. Would we even need this bond having not lost all of that money in the state's economy with inflation? And, you know, we are where we're at. I mean, we can both say as former students in this district that there are classrooms that haven't changed in 20, 40 years, then we do have an issue with it.
There's a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm just thinking that because we're thinking big from the talk we had on Tuesday. Or the
bold,
okay,
right?
Bold.
We're
thinking bold.
We're thinking bold.
I look forward to all of the things we can do. Just passing and all the things we can do. So do I. Okay, that brings us, is there any further board discussion?
Yes, actually. I forgot to mention the RP meeting. I wanted to pass on from ROP that they're following some of West Covina's career and college path and how they're setting up some of the positions under the CTEC funding and how impressed they were with district staff and working with them. They will be sending over a list of their current course offerings, which, you know, had some that were utterly amazing that, you know, as sort of new back, I'm amazed by what they offer and what they can do with the funding they have. And so I didn't want to forget to congratulate you guys and let you know how impressed they are.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Okay, a few things. I had nothing last meeting, so I'm making up for it. Number one, Dr. Coughlin went out. The Stop the Bus event. I am sorry I neglected to mention that. Oh, that was such a wonderful, amazing, amazing event. I did take some school supplies. I took some things that were people had not brought, like watercolors and notebooks. But the bus, at the point that I got there, was already halfway full. And then there was a parent who worked at LACO who was going to stuff the remaining airspace with backpacks and have those backpacks full of supplies. So in fact, Mr. Manning said, Brad Manning said it's going to be an overflowing bus. So it was really, really well done. There were students out there who were supporting the effort. I was so impressed and so pleased that it was a great partnership between our district and the Kiwanis. So your vision of expanding our partnerships, it was great to see it in action. So thank you, Dr. Hinman. And I was going to tell Dr. Coughlin thank you as well. The other thing, Masters in Governance, I know we still have board members that are kind of on that two-year or less window, and there are some Masters in Governance classes coming up in September and October. So I was one more time going to encourage the new board members to go and also encourage the more seasoned board members. Again, things change, policies change, and it's so good to support our new board members and be there together. So I don't know where our new board members stand on their classes. They've got, like I said, a whole bunch of them that are going to be offered in Anaheim, so which is really close to us. It's our CSBA schedule has it. I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, and if we have any new board members that are going, I would love to accompany them. The course outlines, I didn't want to pull it from consent, but the course outlines, that was just such a moment of pride to be able to look at AP Capstone and our Project Lead the Way and our Engineering Pathways over at West Covina High. I was just so pleased to review that material. I want to thank the staff. And again, thank my colleagues here on the board for the vision. I am so excited with what both of our high schools are going to be accomplishing, but specifically looking at those course outlines. There was a lot of joy and excitement with that. I also have to say today I was very, very pleasantly surprised when I went to register my daughter to become a sophomore, which we're still trying to wrap our brain around. She got her student planner free. Every single student at West Covina High School is getting their student planner calendar this year free. I don't know if they're doing that at Edgewood as well, but I thought how wonderful that we are so committed to student success that this year it's free. So,
yeah. When did they start paying for it?
Yeah, no, they had to. The students, it was part of the Spirit Path, last year, and so we opted to get it into Spirit Pack, and this year it was free. So I was really, really pleased with that. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can we seriously find out when they started paying and make sure that doesn't happen again?
Okay. Yeah, it was part of the student pack last year. It was,
I know, but it's not something we've ever had to pay for.
It may be beginning in 2007 when the economy collapsed. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's used to track homework and things like
that. Right, so. And all the policies and. But I was so excited, and so was the student who was passing it out to us. They said, no, it's free this year, it's free. And so I said, every student gets one. They said, every student. So the ASB kids were out there distributing and supporting. I also want to say I'm so pleased with the commitment to parent and family success on behalf of our students. We have some of our back-to-school nights that are actually the week of school. And you all have heard me say before that having them the earlier the better, so that parents are very clear about the expectations for their students for the school year is so, so important. So I two things. I did notice, and so I'm hoping for next year we can think about it a little. We were starting to move in the direction where it was not about the board, but it was about the families and the students. And so we did have two, even up to three on one night, which I'm okay with because we can divide and conquer. Because that way schools can decide what's best for them. And right now we have back-to-school nights going all the way up until September 15th, with Walnut Grove being the last one. And that's already a month until school starting. So for those parents, they're waiting a month to find out what their kids are learning and what the expectations are. So let's rethink that. But I'm so excited that we've got some of our schools the very first week, like Vine and West Cove and Orangewood. So with that in mind, I'm assuming there's a plan in place to let those parents know proactively that they have a back-to-school night on the very first day of school. I'm assuming there's robocalls and letters going out. Okay, good. So I'm really, really excited about that. And that was it. I covered everything. So I look forward to seeing our back-to-school nights in the schools and all the things that they have coming up.
Mr. Flowers.
On the 14th of this, it's coming up, sir, at the Hirsch Ranch Barbecue. You guys on the board are still invited out. The public is invited out for a great barbecue. Went last year and had a great time. So just want to invite everybody out to that, you know, come be a part of a great organization that's going forth in our city.
I appreciate the update on the registration and how successful that's been, the pre-registration. I have had a couple parents that had an issue with it, but there's only three parents that told me they had a little issue. The two of them were Spanish speaking, and is it in Spanish also? And one of them told me they came here, but there wasn't a way to get assistance. Did they misunderstand? And who do they go to if they are having an issue with it? I told them I would find out.
Well, go ahead, Denise.
Actually, most of the parents have been typically go to the school site, and that the sites we set up, all the computer labs were open, and we had both staff that were Spanish speaking and English speaking there to help support them. If they happen to come here, I know that Gilda would call back. Gloria Duncan and her assistant Yvette were instrumental in getting it up and running and would be happy to support. So I will just firm up that communication. I most certainly wouldn't want someone to come in and feel like they couldn't be helped.
So they, but if they're calling me, I just tell them that if they go to their school.
Absolutely.
And it's open now, what are the hours? Anytime they can go to their. Because it would probably be nice, they'd probably be more comfortable going to their home school.
Right. They got emails, and if they hadn't seen that, whatever the school hours are open, they're there to assist them. So anytime from 8 to 3:34.
Now on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of the schools, well, they've all had their formal registration, but they'll just remain open. You know, obviously our goal is to get as many registered as possible.
One of them was having an issue with the password.
That came in a letter and an email.
Yeah, and we can reset that if that's an issue. So.
obviously I haven't done mine, so I told them maybe when I try to do mine, then I will, I can help you. But if they can do it at the school, I think that'll, that's just enough for me to be able to tell them. So I appreciate that. Good information to have. Anything else? If there's nothing else, we are going to close the meeting at 8:05.